Praise God. Okay. I think we're all set. Oh, praise God. Let's turn to John 15. John 15, verse 7. The Lord Jesus speaking these words, not only to his disciples, but to all those who would believe upon him according to their word. John 15, 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and that shall be done unto you or for you. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you for your great and precious promises, Lord. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that even if we can't hear words that are being spoken by people, Father, we can sense in your spirit that you're moving among us, Lord God, and we just rejoice in that. Father, if we don't have you, we have nothing. If you don't go before us and with us, we don't want to go, Lord. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, open these words to us, Lord God. Open this message to us, Father God, and help us to move in the spirit that you desire from this day forward, Father, and forevermore. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Praise be to God. John 15, 7. If, it's like Jack talks all the time. It's one of those if-then situations. If you do this, I'll do this. Praise be to God. You know, when he says, in my name, it means as his agent. We are God's agents. We are Jesus's agents. Moving and proclaiming his word and all that he is about in this life as his agents. You know, Hollywood stars have agents. They go ahead, they book, you know, promotional tours for them and engagements and everything else. We are God's agents, and we are moving forward and doing his perfect will, hopefully. You know, if you look at verse 16, I want us to see this because it is the pattern for asking things in God's name. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Aren't you glad that the Son of God chose you? Amen. Chose me? I'm delighted. Amen. Praise be to God. And ordained you that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should be made. But here is the key for prayer. This is the pattern. That whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. That is the pattern for prayer. You pray to God the Father in Jesus' name, and he grants it. That is the pattern. Praise be to God. But in terms of this seventh verse, I don't know if you have found this, but I have. The closer I commune with the Lord, and the closer I am to him and clinging unto him. You know those Star Trek, Klingons.
Yeah.
I'm a Klingon when it comes to the Lord.
Amen.
I cling upon him.
Hallelujah.
And as I cling unto him, he says, I will grant your requests. You know, the further I drift from God in those times when I get careless or I'm not, you know, lasering in on the Lord are the times that I find my prayers are not answered, you know, or they're half-hearted, or there's like a promise of something that will come, but God is constantly urging me, come unto me. Come unto me. Come closer and closer and closer. You know, you can't get too close to God. You can't get too close. The closer that we get, he says, okay, there's closer yet. And more closer. Come, 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 come unto me. Praise be to God. You know what it means when it says His Word, if His Word abides in us, what He's saying is if my doctrine and teaching abide fresh in your memories and are continually influencing your lives, then I will give you whatever you want and need. Is His Word so abiding in us that it is His doctrines and His teachings are ever fresh in our memories and are continually influencing our lives? You know, I've been in a number of situations lately where God has put me to the test. You know, where He said, okay, are you going to stand for me? Or are you going to go the way of the flesh? You know, at work in particular. And I've gotten people angry at me. Oh my God. Oh no, you're angry at me? Because I tell the truth, and what I know is the truth, and because I'm putting it on your shoulders. You know, once you tell someone the truth, they are responsible from that point on. And I tried to tell this man, you know, I just delivered to you the truth. And I know that I know it's the truth. And now you're responsible for how you either receive it or reject it or ignore it or whatever you do with it. You have it and there's no excuse. You know, Paul said, once you get it, once you see that there is a God and we're responsible to Him, you're then in that position of you have to either accept it or reject it. And if we reject it, there are bad consequences. But if you accept it, what a blessing. What a blessing you can have. Praise be to God. His Word needs to be abiding in us, and it needs to be like a fire. Remember Jeremiah said that Word is like a fire burning my bones so that I have to speak the truth. That's where we need to be every single day of our lives. That Word is a fire and it's burning. And if I don't speak it forth to whomever needs to hear it on any given occasion, then it's going to just... You ever have that feeling where it just rocks you? You know, where it's like, oh my God, I blew it. I didn't do it. And you want to, you know, run to the person's house at 3 o'clock in the morning and bang on their door and say, you know, I didn't give you the truth when I had the chance, but here I am. And, you know, risk getting arrested or whatever. Praise be to God. Turn to Luke chapter 12. You know what I love about the Lord is that He wants to constantly, daily, be bestowing upon us kingdom blessings. We are part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. There's no distinction. They're the same thing. People have tried to make a distinction. No, it's the same thing. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What kingdom? Not the kingdoms of the world, not the kingdoms of the flesh, not the kingdoms of wealth and power and earthly pleasures and all that. There's only one kingdom, the kingdom, and it is the kingdom of God. And it is His good pleasure to give it to us. You know what I like? The very second thing. little flock. We're a little flock. We always have been. Maybe we always will be, although I believe that God is going to bring people in as the times get worse and worse and worse, and they have nowhere else to turn. They're going to say, well, maybe that sign says, whosoever believeth him shall be saved. Maybe there's something to that. Maybe there's something to that little building there where people gather every Sunday morning. And maybe there's something to those people who have preached to me and tried to teach me and tried to instruct me in the way of God and tried to bring me into that flock. But it's a little flock. He started out with 12 apostles, one of them, the son of perdition, got blown away, and he's left with 11 people to turn the world upside down. There's nothing wrong with being a little flock. That's how it all started. And that's how it all will continue and end. And he says, fear not. You know, you can have fears that are of the world. You know, the things that are happening around us. I don't care about that stuff anymore, you know, because I know God is going to take care of me. Or we can have fears of being that sense of unworthiness, you know, that fear of, well, I'm not a real good person. No, you're not. And God makes it clear that you're not and I'm not. I'm not a good person, you know. I got stuff in here and in here that shouldn't be there. Amen. But it is, and I have to deal with it every single day of my life, and I have to overcome it, and I have to walk in the path that God has chosen for me to walk in. But it's a little flock. But the reason is clear, because Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen.
That's right.
Why? Because the way is narrow. And not many people find that narrow way or decide to go through that narrow door. You know, Jesus said, I'm the door. I'll receive anybody who wants to come through this door who would believe in me, but it's narrow. You can't be dancing around it and everything. It's a narrow way. And you go through that narrow door, and those who are called are chosen, and they're few. Not because God refuses to call them, but because they refuse to call upon God. That's it. You know, it's not many are called, few are chosen. You know, that God is arbitrary. He's no respecter of persons. Anyone can walk through that door at any time and receive the Lord Jesus and begin to walk in newness of life. And once they find it, once we have found it, it's a glorious way, isn't it? Praise be to God. I love Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We have found glory. You know, kneeling on that floor and bowing my head, I found the most glorious sense of God's presence. Because we humble. I'm sorry, you know, people in the back, you didn't hear it. I'm really sorry, because it was such a move of God. I knew I had to do that, and I wanted everybody to fall into that. But what can he do? Luke chapter 12:32 again. It's his good pleasure. Not just his pleasure, but his good pleasure to give us the kingdom and all that it entails. And what is involved in the kingdom of God? Peter told us that God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's the kingdom And what has he given us? What are those things that pertain unto life and godliness? He's given us the new birth. Remember John chapter 3? Jesus came to Nicodemus, you're a teacher, and you don't get it? Unless a man is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. What? Can I have to be, you know, back into my mother's womb and born? No. You're a teacher and you don't get this. You have to be born again of the Spirit. Born of water and of the Spirit. I believe it's very clear. Water is your natural birth. You know, the water bursts and the child comes forth, and the Spirit is the second birth, the new birth, being born again of the Spirit. I said it before, but there is that saying in Christianity, if you're born once, you'll die twice. If you're born twice, you'll live once and forever. If you're born, you know, only of the natural, you're going to die twice. You're not only going to die physically, but you're going to die spiritually. Ever separated from the presence of God. But if you're born twice, you're going to be with the Lord forever. Of the water and of the Spirit. Praise be to God. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We have to know that in our hearts, you know. I mean, the kingdom eventually will be the millennial kingdom, where we all, you know, are together ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus. But we can taste of the kingdom of God here and now. Praise be to God. And we do every time we come together. You know, I get so far into worship sometimes that I forget the chords and I'm, you know, and I mess up and I'm saying to Lord, you know, but it's okay. Because he's saying, you're worshiping me in spirit and in truth. You're making a joyful noise. Even if that noise is off key, or if I miss a particular chord sometime, you're making a joyful noise. And if it's in the spirit, and I'm worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, it's okay.
Yes.
It's okay. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. What has God given us in terms of all things pertaining unto life and godliness? He gave us the new birth. Do you remember when you were born again? And all of a sudden, it's like a whole new vista opened up to you. Oh my God, what is this? I didn't know. I had no idea what happened to me, but I knew I was different. I was a new person. And the things that I wanted to do before, I no longer had a desire for. And now I had a desire for things that I didn't know what they were about. But I knew I was attracted to the Word. And I knew as I read it, and God opened it up before me, that, wow, this is a whole new kingdom, a whole new dynamic in my life. Praise be to God. He's given us Jesus by the Spirit indwelling us. Jesus said, I'm going to come. My Father and I are going to make our abode in you. We're going to make you our home. Is that incredible?
That's pretty cool.
That the God of this universe, the God of creation, the God of heaven and earth, who created heaven and earth, is choosing me to be his home. It's beyond comprehension. It's beyond wonderful. It's like there's no word to describe it, that God has chosen to take up residence in me. Because I know what I'm about, you know. I know what I've been. I know what I've done. I know what I've thought. I know what I have spoken. And I know that God is holy and perfect and pure, and yet despite all the things that I did and said and thought, he chose to make his abode in me. That is amazing. Absolutely amazing. And it makes me sometimes walk on tiptoes, you know? If God is in me, where am I going to bring him? Where am I going to walk him into? What situations and what confrontations sometimes am I going to take the God of glory in me into? You know, some of the places I brought the Lord were not good places, you know? Where I've had confrontations with people, where I have not been loving, and yet he who is love indwells me. Where I have not been patient, and yet that's one of the fruits of the Spirit of God that is in me. And I haven't been patient. But God is ever patient and ever loving and ever merciful and ever compassionate and ever kind to forgive all my garbage and to say, my blood can cover that. My blood covers it. The blood that I spilled on Calvary covers all of that stuff. Praise be to God. And all you have to do, and I do it every day of my life, Lord, forgive me for my sins of thought, word, and deed, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Praise be to God. And I know it's done. Why? Because it's in his work. And his word is forever true. He's given us angels watching about us. You know, Psalm 91. My angels camped about you, so that you know, don't dash your foot upon a stone. Hebrews, very first chapter of Hebrews. Are they, angels, not all ministering spirits sent to minister to those who will be heirs of salvation? That's you and I.
Yes.
You know, we're already saved, but we will be heirs of the ultimate salvation, the salvation of our bodies as we ascend into that place of his being. So he's given us angels. He's given us God the Father, who we can pray to, in the name of Jesus, who indwells us, by the power of his Spirit, and he's given us angels encamped about us. You know, if you read in Revelation, you see that one third of the angels rebelled with Lucifer. That leaves two thirds of the angels behind. We have more angels, just like, you know, Elisha said unto Gehazi, Lord, open his eyes so he can see. There's more of them, of us, than there are of them. And we have to know that. We have to know that there's more godliness and God's angels and God's protection and God's provision about us than there are of them, whoever or whatever form them takes that is against us. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. This is following through with the kingdom of God. It's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isaiah 40, let's start with verse 1. You know what this is? In context, it's talking about Isaiah is seeing prophetically ahead towards the day when God's people who were sent into exile because of their sin and idolatry would return and be completely blessed by God. And you can see it in the church and in us individually. We were lost in sin and idolatry and everything else, but God saw prophetically what He was going to do through the Lord Jesus Christ in each of our lives. And this is a portent of what God is going to do and has done in each of our lives. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. In our lives, as Christians, we have suffered not only double in some cases, but triple and quadruple in many ways for our sins. But now that time is past because the Lord has come into our lives and He's saying, I send you comfort. I send you blessing. You sinned. You went through your lives however long. For me, it was 35 years of my life, or however long it was for any of you. And we paid for that sin, didn't we? In many different ways. Physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, whatever it was. And God says, okay, you've paid for it, but now, look what I have for you. The voice of Him, verse 3, that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Of course, this was in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, doing that very thing. But He's telling us, because the Word speaks to each of us by its Spirit, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Why? Because I have something deeper for you. I have something better for you. I have something that you have yet to experience. If you will, prepare ye my way, so I, my little flock, can give you my kingdom and all those kingdom blessings. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. You know, if we ask the Lord in sincerity, Lord, what are the stumbling blocks that are keeping me from being raised up higher? What is preventing me from going deeper into your ways and into your kingdom? Do you know He'll answer you? If you ask in sincerity, God will show us, each of us, the stumbling blocks that are in our way. What needs to be made straight? What is crooked in our lives? What is down here that needs to be raised up? And what is all, you know, craziness or chaos that needs to be brought into perfect order so that He can bless us in a deeper way? It's my pleasure, good pleasure, not just pleasure, good pleasure, to give you the kingdom. But you have to want the kingdom. You have to want the deeper things of the kingdom. I'm not going to give them to somebody who's going to be blasé about it, you know? God doesn't work that way. You have to be sincerely desirous of the deeper things and the higher things of the kingdom. Verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. We have a glory that awaits us. We have the potential right here and now. You know, we're going to be with the Lord in glory. And I thank God for that. But what am I doing here and now? Can't God reveal His glory upon me so that when I speak to other people, people at work, whether I'm telling them the truth or, you know, the gospel or whatever it is, can't they see a glory resting upon me that makes them want to take in what I have to share with them? I say yes. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen once. You know, I've led many people to the Lord, but once there was a person who said to me, I see something on you and in you that I want. And I said, you can have it, and here it is.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Amen.
Praise be to God. It only happened once in my life. But what an incredible event, you know. Praise be to God. You know, usually it's the response to the gospel or whatever. But that one time, that person saw something in me and said, I want what you have. Praise be to God. That's the way it should be every time, right? Every time. Verse 6. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness, goodliness thereof, is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Praise be to God. You know what he's saying there? He's saying all that's of the flesh is going to die, and it has to die. You know? You can't walk in the glory of God and resurrection life unless this thing is willing to die. You know? It has to die. You read the book of Romans from beginning to end, and it's all about death. The death of this thing. It has to die. You know? God can't make it better. He can't make my flesh better. Oh, I'll enhance your flesh so you can go on and, you know, go about your way, and I'll make your flesh, you know, better. No, it doesn't work that way. The flesh has to die.
Amen.
Right into the grave. And up from the grave, it arises in newness of life, and God is glorified.
Hallelujah.
In it. But it has to die. Unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it can't bring forth any fruit.
That's right.
Can't be done. So he's saying, your flesh, your grass, you're going to wither away and die, but my word will abide forever. And where is that word? It's got to be right here in the heart. It's got to be our foundation, our fortress, our strong tower. That word that's in there, that we hide in our hearts, that we sin not against the Lord. Praise be to God. Verse 9. Just going to go through 11 and we'll get done here. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Praise be to God. What that's telling me is that if we want the Lord to really move in our lives in a powerful way, we have to do it by faith. This is what he's speaking. Faith. Oh, Jerusalem, I'm coming, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to provide, and I'm going to... But we have to have the faith, don't we? In order for it to happen. Praise be to God. If we don't have faith, if we don't believe, we can't receive. You know? And I'm not talking, you know, word faith nonsense now. But faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We have to have faith that God is going to do what He said He will do on our behalf. And what will He do? He says, I want to give you the kingdom. I want to give you the blessings of the kingdom. And what's in that kingdom? There's power. There's healing. There's deliverance. There's the power to convict hearts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. There is the power of the kingdom to say to people, I'm going to break that hard heart of yours. I'm going to break it with the hammer of the word. Praise be to God. I'm not going to accept your denial of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the truth, but I'm going to keep preaching it to you and hammering it on you until you finally see and you finally break the power of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Go ye, therefore, and preach the gospel. What he was saying there was clear. I'm giving that power to you. You're my agent. Now go forth and preach it and speak it and live it and let people see my kingdom. So they want it too. And finally, verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. He's our shepherd. He's our great shepherd. How many times has he carried you in his arms when you going through rough places and you knew that it was his grace and his power that was seeing you through? You know, I see in this a number of things in this gently lead those who are with young and carry them in his bosom, the lambs. I see one, that there are people of faith, genuine Christians. I'm not talking about professing believers who go through all the rituals and formalism and they've been baptized and they've been this and that, but they're not born again. They're not true believers. But those who are young in the Lord and tender, and they need the Lord to carry them and to uphold them, you know, by the strength of his righteousness. But I also see something else here. He shall feed the flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. I wonder. People in our lives have died. Hopefully they were in the Lord and they went home to be with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Could it be that what he's saying here as part of this is that there are people who will not follow or cling to Jesus? And I've seen this. I've seen this in the multiple funerals that I have conducted. They won't follow Jesus, but when they see that lamb, that person who has gone on beyond them, they'll follow them. And they'll get caught up in the Christian experience because of that. All right, I don't know anything about this Jesus stuff, about this Christianity, but I do know I miss with all my heart that child, that mother, that sister, that brother, whoever it was. And I want to go to be where they are. And so, they will get caught up in that experience. You know, I've seen that in funerals that I've conducted. I've had people come up to me after the funeral. You know, I have a pretty common MO. Modus operandi, I will preach about heaven, you know, and the glorious things that God has to offer in the kingdom of God. And then I will usually tell them, but there's only one way to get there. There's only one door. There's only one way. And I've had people come up to me and tell me afterwards, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about, all this Jesus stuff and the door and the way and the truth and the life and everything. I don't get it. But I do know I want to see my wife again, you know? And then I could share with them privately, well, here's the way that you can, you know? And I wonder if that some of that isn't in that particular scripture there. And I'll close with one more scripture. First Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter 22. Verse 19. This is a commandment that I believe God is calling each one of us to this morning. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God. What is the sanctuary? It's you and me, isn't it? It's not a building. It's not Church on the Rock. It's not some temple. It's not some, you know, church building with a steeple on it, or some, you know, the Vatican, or whatever. We are the sanctuary of the Lord.
Amen.
Build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God. How do we do that? By offering ourselves daily, over and over again, as sacrifices of praise unto the Lord, and allowing Him to draw us closer unto Him and to build us more into the image of Jesus Christ, His Son, to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. We need to set our hearts and our souls to seek the Lord, don't we? And to become that sanctuary. You know, we sing that song, Lord, what, how's it go? A sanctuary, pure and holy.
Tried and true.
With thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Praise be to God. That's what God wants. You know? He wants us to be reverent and humble before Him, and yet to take His power at the same time. You know, there is power that comes out of humility and reverence, and take that power and use it to draw others into His kingdom. Fear not, He says. Don't fear about your unworthiness. I know you're unworthy. I knew that before I called you. I extended my grace to you. I know that you're afraid of, you know, the things that are going on around you in this world. I know that there are many things that can cause you fear. But fear not. Because I am with you. And I want to give you the kingdom. Little flock, I want to give you that kingdom. Praise be to God. For anyone who may be listening to this online, I pray that you will submit yourself unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Make Him your Savior today. God promises tomorrow to no man. Make it today that you accept and receive and ask Jesus into your heart to become your Savior. And He wants, know that He wants, to give you all the blessings of His kingdom. Blessings now, and blessings that we can't even begin to imagine the glory of in the next life. Praise be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing a song. Altar will be open for prayer. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't think I've ever strung it before, so I'm going to do that.
You sang the song.
I hear the sound of the
Spirit of the Lord. I hear the sound of a great awakening. In this revival running forth. Like a host of the Lord.
Oh, Father, thank you for this day, Father. Thank you for this word that come forth to us, Lord. And thank you just for the grace that you would provide for us today. And let us hear the words that you speak to us, Lord, and put it in our hearts. Let our light shine as we go out today into the world. And let everyone see the shining of you, Lord, and your kingdom. For without your kingdom or without you, Lord, we are nothing. We need you in our lives, and we need to do your will, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Altar is open for prayer. Let there be light.
Oh,
I like that.
Hey.
Gotta get
the
glasses
too.
No, I have
one here.
I have to
take it. I can't take it.
Oh,